And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you hear that noise? It sounds very much like a man breathing, doesn't it? Well, that noise is a metallic monster. She has given to some people what life was based on. It's called the breath of life, and that's where the breath of life comes from. The great iron lungs that we are facing right now in the hospital. The breathing that you hear, as I said, does not come from a human being. It comes from a machine. And it's this breathing that has kept so many human beings living. You've all heard of the iron lung, of course. You know what work the iron lung does. You've heard so much about it, about the iron lung and the March of Dimes and polio. So this afternoon, or rather this morning, we're talking to the people, but you'll be listening to it this morning. We're going to find out just what this iron lung has accomplished. Perhaps you will be able to get a little bit better of an idea of what your Dimes are accomplishing in the polio drive. We have several people that we want to talk to this afternoon, several people that I think you will be very greatly interested in meeting. First of all, a young lady sitting here. What is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Basil.
Mrs. Basil. Not too many months ago, you read a lot in the paper about Mrs. Basil and about a little boy that she has with her. First of all, though, we're going to talk to Mrs. Basil, and then we'll meet her little boy. Now, tell me, what is your job?
Well, I'm a housewife right now.
You're a housewife, just like a lot of other mothers in the United States. And I imagine you have probably what is a typical American family, isn't that right?
Yes, I have.
How many children do you have, Mrs. Basil?
Two boys.
You have two boys. And undoubtedly, Mrs. Basil's boys play and grow up just like any other little boys in your family. Did you ever hear too much about polio before it struck your family, Mrs. Basil?
No. Never pay too much attention to it. I've heard about it, but not too much about it.
And to you, it was just something else that every once in a while we had to shell out a few dimes for and see if we couldn't possibly help out a little bit. And then what happened?
Well, then polio struck our family, and I surely heard a lot about it after that. I mean, you just never know what it is until it hits your own family.
Well, how did it happen? Did a great big bell ring or something of that sort, or was it sort of a sneak attack from the rear?
Certainly not. You get no warning whatsoever. It just hits you, and that's all.
And all of a sudden, it was there. And what happened to this big fellow sitting next to you?
Well, it struck him, and we took him into the hospital and diagnosed the case, and they told us it was polio, and he had it in the throat.
He had it in the throat. Well, that's the story, moms and dads, and it's typical, too. You know, this polio business isn't an above-the-table disease. It doesn't give you any advance warning like the measles or the mumps. It just sort of sneaks up on you and lets go all of a sudden. Hi there, fellow. What's your name? Richard Basil, and this is the guy you've heard so much about for a long, long time. How's your buddy Lou Boudreau?
Fine.
I bet you were really tickled to have him come down and visit with you, weren't you? Well, tell me something. I want to ask you a big question, Dick. How did you like being in that iron lung?
I didn't like it a bit.
You didn't like it a bit. What did it feel like? Was there any feeling to it at all?
I felt air.
You felt air. And that air sort of did lots of things for this little fella, too. By golly, you certainly do look healthy. How old are you?
7 years old.
7 years old. And here's a little seven-year-old guy that's going to go on to be president of the United States, maybe. Or a ball player. What do you want to be, a ball player?
I want to be a baseball player.
You're going to be a baseball player after your buddy Lou Boudreau, huh? A little fella that's 7 years old, and he's going to be a baseball player because one of his greatest idols is Lou Boudreau. And, of course, he's going to be able to do that, too, if he wants to, if he has the ability. It's up to him, but he's going to be able to do it because of this big iron monster that we were talking about, this big iron lung, the thing that breathed into him the breath of life. How are you feeling now, Dick? Pretty good?
Fine.
Fine. You go to school?
Yes, I'm in second grade.
In the second grade, huh? How do you like it? Pretty good?
Yes.
Well, that's really swell. Thank you very much, Richard Basil and Mrs. Basil. Well, you've heard a lot about that young fellow, ladies and gentlemen. I know that you read about him in the papers not too long ago when polio struck the Basil family and when Dick was brought down here to the Sharon General Hospital and put into this big iron lung. And don't forget what we call it, the breath of life. Want to hear it again? It goes like this. Yes, that's the iron lung, and that's the thing that we mean when we're talking about the breath of life. Now we have somebody else we want to talk to down here. First of all, let's talk to you. Who are you?
Mrs. Matuzik.
And where are you from, Mrs. Matuzik?
Farrell, Pennsylvania.
You're from Farrell, Pennsylvania. What kind of a family do you have?
I have two girls and one boy.
Two girls and one boy. And what do you do for a living?
Housewife.
You're another housewife. Well, tell me something, Mrs. Matuzik. What did you know about polio?
Well, just from what I read in the paper,
You heard it was kind of bad, and you knew it would never happen to you, isn't that right?
I thought it would never happen to us.
Well, what did happen?
Well, Janet came home from school, and she said she didn't feel good. I called the doctor, and they took her up to the hospital.
They took her up to the hospital, and the doctor said?
They tapped her, and she had polio.
And she had polio. What happened to you then?
How did you feel? Well, I couldn't take it, I suppose.
Your whole world just about dropped out
from
under
right.
You, didn't it? Gee, what a horrible thing to have the doctor say to you that your child has polio. And then what happened from there on in?
Well, they took her in on a Sunday, and on the Monday they performed an operation on her throat.
Uh-huh.
And then on Tuesday they put her in the iron lung.
They put her in the iron
lung. And she was there for 12 days.
12 days.
That's right.
And how's she coming along now?
Fine.
Well, good. Let's find out about that. Janet, come here. She's bouncing all over the place. You look like a rubber ball. Whoops. Come here, honey. How old are you?
I am 7 years old.
7 years old. Well, by golly, you sure are a bouncy one. Are you sure you're not a rubber ball?
Mm.
You're not a rubber ball. Do you go to school?
Yes.
What grade are you in?
In the second grade.
In the second grade. Well, tell me something, honey. What did you think of that big iron lung when you first saw it? Huh? You remember? You don't remember. Well, what did it feel like to be inside of it? Did it feel any different at all? Didn't feel any different. It was just like you were breathing yourself, wasn't it? Boy, it's a pretty good little gadget, isn't it? Oh, come on now. A great big bouncing girl like you doesn't cry. Gee, she's wonderful. I wish you could see her. She's so nice and rosy-cheeked and everything. You know what you're going to do? You're going to make your makeup on. Or don't you have any makeup on? Well, we've got her a little bit excited, so we won't talk to her anymore right now. But you heard what she said. She said that it didn't feel a bit different when she was in that iron lung. She said that the only thing it felt like was that she was breathing. And that's exactly what she meant, too. She meant that that big machine was doing her breathing for her. And without that machine, of course, she wouldn't be able to breathe. Who are you, sir, sitting back here looking so concerned?
I'm Mr. Matuzik.
You're Mr. Matuzik.
Right.
Well, tell me, Mr. Matuzik, what did you know about this polio business before it struck your family?
Well, not very much.
Where do you work there, first of all?
I work at U.S. Steel Products.
U.S. Steel Products. You're another steel man.
That's right.
We have a lot of steel men around this valley. And how many children are there in your family again?
Three.
Three children. And you're probably just like all the rest of us. To you, before you were struck by polio yourself, or rather your family, you probably thought that polio was just another thing in this big world of ours. You don't pay too much attention to it.
That's right.
Well, tell me something. What do you think of the March of Dimes?
I think we ought to stress it more.
It's quite a thing, isn't it?
It is.
I know that it probably helped your family out a lot, didn't it?
It did quite a bit. Wasn't for it, I don't believe we'd ever get out of debt.
That's right. And remember, while we're talking all this time, we're not waving any flags or anything of that sort, but you remember, won't you? Keep in mind that all of these families that we're talking to today are just plain, common, ordinary American families. There isn't anything outstanding about them. You don't have to be the President of the United States or the President of the Republic in order to get polio. You can be just a plain, common, ordinary person like me and you. You remember that, too. Thank you very much, Mr. McGusick.
You're welcome.
And now we have somebody else that we want to talk to over here. There's another young lady that has been sitting here very patiently waiting for us. But first of all, we're going to talk to a lady who is just a little bit older. What is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Shaker.
And where are you from?
Majorie, Ohio.
You're from Majorie. And how many children do you have in your family?
Two.
You have two. What are they?
Two girls.
Two girls, both girls. How old are they?
One's married. She's 21, and Judy's 11.
21 and 11. And you saw the girl that was 21 grow up and get married and going to start to raise a family of her own, no doubt.
She has two.
Does she have two already? You're a grandma? I don't believe it. You don't look like a grandma at all. Well, tell me something now. What did you think about this polio business before it happened?
Didn't know too much about it. In fact, I didn't know there was three different kinds, as there is.
Three different kinds of polio?
No, I never knew it until around.
Well, what kind of polio are there? I mean, what are the kinds of polio?
Well, the common nurse told there is the muscular type, and then the Berber type, as Judy had, is the... There's two different kinds of muscular type.
And which is the most dangerous type?
Well, the Berber type is the most severe. I mean, it can kill you easier than the other type is, muscular type is easy paralyzed.
Paralyzed. Well, this type of polio that Judy had, what did it do to her?
Well, she was fortunate. It just paralyzed her throat.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have, now you can guess that, muscular type with it too. She happened to, unfortunately enough, not to have it.
She didn't have it. Well, tell me something now. We're still trying to get at the bottom of this polio business as far as what polio is like in an average American home. You probably went ahead and lived a very ordinary life, just like all the rest of us, before it happened. And then tell everybody just what did happen. What made the change in your life? How did it start?
Well, it makes you...
I know it brings a lot of tears even to think about it, but I want the people to try to understand that it can happen to them. It can happen in their own families.
It sure can. They don't know really yet how it's going to... How you strike, really.
Well, what did Judy do, or what happened to Judy in the first place?
Well, she is a massive girl, but still she's kind of quiet. You know, she sits around and has a lot of things she does. It's a time that she hasn't any girlfriends real have.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a severe headache, and on Sunday, Monday evening, he was a doctor, and I don't know, I wasn't too surprised. I guess we're like everybody. We don't know too much about it, but still you had the fear there. And
sure.
Your children come sick about August, that might be what it is, although you don't know until a doctor pronounces it or until they have the final test.
And then she got a severe headache, and they brought her down, and they found out that she had polio.
She had a severe headache, and her neck was stiff till we brought her here. The doctor was most certain before they took the test that that was what she had. She was in at the hospital from Monday evening till Sunday morning before they put her in the iron lung.
And then they put her in the iron lung, and it started to do her breathing poor. Well, now tell me something. I imagine that you and your husband are extremely wealthy, is that right?
Not at all.
You're probably just like we are. You often wonder where that third meal is coming from, and you're not quite sure whether you're going to get it or not. I know that's the way it is at our house. And, well, how did you manage to pay for all of this? It costs a lot of money, doesn't it?
Sure does. The Polio Foundation has helped us with some, and we have managed some ourselves.
But the Polio Foundation helps.
Yes, they do.
And I know they help a lot, too. I know that for people like you and me, if we actually got into it and had to handle the whole thing ourselves, we'd probably be the rest of our life and we'd still be in debt. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Well, let's thank you very much. But right now we're going to get to another one of the stars of our show. Hi, who are you?
Judy Shaker.
How old are you, Judy?
11.
How are you feeling?
Okay.
You're feeling pretty good. Fine. How did you like that iron lung?
Well, I didn't like it, but I liked it after I got over it.
You didn't like it, but you liked it after you got over it. What did it feel like in there? Can you tell me?
Well...
Did it feel any different?
Yes, it did. It felt like you are when you're breathing.
It feels like you are when you're breathing. All you were doing was sort of laying there in bed and letting the iron lung breathe for you. Is that right?
Yes.
That's a nice thing for a lazy man, isn't it?
Yes,
I'm just about lazy enough that I'd appreciate that because I wouldn't have to do any breathing.
What's that? Yes, I like that lung. All you do is lay there and it breathes for you. It's quite a gadget, isn't it? Well, how are you feeling now?
Okay.
You look okay, too. You feel any different at all?
A little bit.
A little bit. Are you still coming into the hospital for treatment?
Yes.
What kind of treatment are they giving you now?
I ain't getting a treatment, but I take treatments when I'm home.
Oh, I see. Well, what do you do at home?
I take exercises.
Exercises? What kind?
Breathing exercises and exercises for muscles on my...
The muscles in your throat?
No, my...
Oh, I see. Right in your chest, huh?
Uh-huh.
And is it coming along pretty good?
Yes, it helps me when I take my exercise.
Well, good. That's really wonderful. Thank you very much, Judy. Thank you a whole lot. Aren't they swell, ladies and gentlemen? Three kids. Judy's 11. She's the oldest one of a bunch of them. They range right on down. And three typical American families. Their families just like yours and just like mine. And no different. They probably have electric refrigerators and stoves, and they probably have an automobile, and if they're like me, their automobile breaks down once in a while, and they wonder how they're going to get it fixed, and if anything happens in the family in the way of sickness, they wonder how they're going to get that fixed, too. It's quite a problem in these days. I know that you're just like I am. You probably don't have too much money to carry you along. But there are three kids from three typical American families who had the breath of life put in them twice. The first time by the good Lord, and it doesn't make any difference what faith you are, what religion, what church you belong to, you have the same God as I do, and he's the one that created all of us, of course. The second breath of life put into them by their mothers and fathers. They're the ones that managed to create them in the first place. And these kids, they had something a little bit extra added. They managed to get the breath of life for the third time. The breath of life that sounds like this. Yes, that's the iron lung. There's only one thing wrong with that iron lung that I can see from where I'm standing. It costs money. It costs a lot of money. To us, it's a terrible lot of money. 20,000 dimes it costs for one of those things. And to make it a little bit simpler, it costs $2,000. To me, $2,000 is a lot of money, and I know it is to you, too. But with the whole bunch of us put together, I don't think that $2,000 is very much at all. Just think, in this United States, with all of the millions of people, if only 20,000 of us would dig down in our pockets and pull out one little thin dime, we'd be able to buy another machine like that. You heard three boys and girls talking to you this morning. Three boys and girls who may very well possibly have not been alive had it not been for that breath of life that you've been listening to all through the program. Reminds me of that little bit of a poem a long time ago about the debts I owe are great and broad, so numberless and vast, so great that both to man and God I'll owe them to the last. You know, we're right in the middle of a big polio drive now, trying to get enough money to pay for all of the funds that have been spent during the past few years. The Polio Foundation itself is about $5 million in arrears because there has been such a large epidemic during this last year. And remember now, when you're giving to the March of Dimes, you're not giving to help somebody else. You're giving to help yourself because your family is exactly like these families that I've talked to today. They're not any different in the slightest. Maybe someday your little boy or girl will come home with a headache, or maybe your husband, or maybe you yourself, Mom. Perhaps there will be a headache or a sore throat or something, and you wake up to the stark realization that there is polio in your family. If you're lucky, everything will come out all right because the March of Dimes will be there to carry on for you. If you're not lucky, well, perhaps people have stopped giving to the March of Dimes, or perhaps they figure that somebody else will do it. And when the time comes, there won't be enough money to buy that iron lung that perhaps your child will need. So what do you say? Are you going to dig down with us? Remember, any of the local banks in your area will accept the money for your March of Dimes contribution. Or else, you can wait until January the 31st, if you like, between the hours of 7 and 8 o'clock in the evening, and turn on your porch light when the mothers will be around with their March of Dimes, their March on Polio. They're going to come around to all of the houses. You don't have to move outside of your house if you don't want to. All you have to do is turn on that front porch light, and they'll be there to collect it for you. You know, faith isn't some sort of a mystical thing.
or the words of a beautiful creed, or prayers that are penned by talented souls that most people stand up to read. Faith is the power that prompts us to go and give to the hungering bread. Faith means more than a doctrine or two, for faith without works is dead. Faith doesn't mean to be kneeling all day with the lifting of prayerful hands. Faith isn't something that makes the great God comply with our mortal demands. Faith ties its belt and goes out to serve the masses that live in dread. Faith means giving of all that you have. For remember, faith without works is dead.